Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Thanks to our new sponsor, Maeve, for supporting our podcast. Dogs need unprocessed, high-protein, low-carb diets that kibble and fresh foods don't deliver. Make the switch to raw today. Right now, Maeve is offering $40 off your first order at meetmaeve.com/filmsack.
Sebastian, do you have any idea what time it is?
Da Vinci never slept, said it was a waste of time. Who's that?
Not your business. Not anymore.
Linda, I cracked the reversion.
You cracked it.
Look at this. Hello, face.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, and welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 602. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. I can't believe his girlfriend is shacking up with Thanos Dunaway.
Yeah, snap. Oh, snap. Oh, hi.
Hi.
This week on Film Sack, we hollow out enough of our logical science brains to head over to HBO Max to watch this sci-fi horror bacon Thanos babysitting adventure save the cheerleader flick from the year 2000 before it disappears. Wait, did I just see a reverse bacon cheeseburger? Flame broiled. Anywho, inspired by this week's movie, I picked up some Oil of Olay vanishing cream and stuck it in the microwave for about 30 seconds and then injected that into my arm, and now I'm invisible. Take that, eighth grade science teacher. I'm MacGyvering the hell out of this science shit. All right. So I got my if I ever am naked and invisible checklist ready. Okay, let's see. Up first is sneak a peek at some boobies like a creepy person, because who would know? Next up is locate and look at boobs I never got to see because nobody will know. And then, yep, this whole list is just boob stuff. So I best get to peeling my butt off this leather seat and get to boobing. Randy, that is not how you eat a Twinkie. Randy, stop it. God, don't eat a Twinkie like that.
Oh, my Lord. It's so true. Nicely done. Also with us, Randy, will you please stop moving my product placement can of Coke around the room, Jordan?
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Randy.
I see that you've all got your molecule testing software up and running. I apologize for being stuck on the version of that software that doesn't just try infinite different combinations itself until it finds one that doesn't fail the simulation. We're paying you guys to do a job, okay? Don't make me tap the sign that says you should be working. Sleep is a waste of time, and you're going to do great as long as you're fueled by coffee and Twinkies, and as long as you follow these three rules for surviving when your coworker turns into a homicidal maniac. Number one, don't ever take a job where you work in a bunker that doesn't have any security forces coming in and out of the bunker. This might seem obvious to you, but scientists are apparently clueless. Number two, you can always lure a bad guy with offers of sex. So set up a trap where you put a sex doll at the bottom of a pit and then you grease the walls with lube so he can't get out. And I may need to stop thinking about that point too much. Number three, when the homicidal maniac leaves your secure facility, that's when you are supposed to change the security codes to lock him out. Think, McFly, think.
They weren't thinking at all.
It's true.
Oh, were they supposed to think?
No. Well, I think it was us.
Why start now?
Yeah, why start now? It was us that were supposed to not think at the end. With us finally, Brian, Kim Dickens rhymes with Slim Pickens Ebbett.
Oh my gosh, you've blown my mind. All right. Thought about the Beatles, Nowhere Man. Thought about Pearl Jam, Better Man, but decided to go with this.
Oh my lord, I'm so excited.
I cracked the reversion code last night.
Brilliant.
Called Linda up at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And she was in bed with her brand new man.
Oh.
That's as low as I have to go, thankfully.
Good, good.
I injected myself with the magic serum. Blue is good and red is bad.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It's very convenient. And now I can see my skin disappear, and it's kind of rad. And my friends are treating me like General Zod. They don't realize that I'm a science god. On infrared, you can still see my rod in red, yellow, and green. I'm a hollow man. Hollow man running around the lab with my junk exposed. And I think I'm going away for a long, long time. Even transparent people should commit no crime. To turn me in, they didn't waste any time. Oh no, no, no. I'm a hollow man. Hollow man, my rubber face won't turn the convicts on. I'm a slab of barbecue with a lab coat on.
Oh my god.
I look just like a plate of half-cooked prawns. I look like what you get when you take the mask off, Spawn.
That's good. Deep cut.
Yeah.
I'm never going to date Charlize Theron.
When's the album coming out?
Look, somebody could go edit this into an album form.
I think it's a no-brainer. I want the Ibbit Film Sack Ibbit album.
Sure. Look, if you're not a patron, you don't know this, but Brian puts the lyrics up in the Patreon so people can have those and hold them close to their heart for the rest of their lives.
Right. Thank you for the reminder. Yeah. I'll do that right now.
As a matter of fact, that you can put that in with the album sheet. You can
Yeah. Lyrics only for you. Right. Yeah.
And check out his merch table on your way out. It's fantastic stuff. We are talking about the film Hollow Man from 2000. And we have an intro here from someone we sort of know. Here you go.
Hi, I am not Scott Fletcher, like, at all, but we moved movies around and there wasn't any time to bug Fletcher about the change. So here I am, fake Kim Johnson, doing it this week. Hollow Man, a brilliant scientist's discovery renders him invisible, but transforms him into an omnipotent, dangerous megalomaniac.
Yeah. Nailed it. Fake Kim.
You do have access really to the real Kim Johnson, though.
I'm right. Lord.
I do.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. No, it's a lesson in why AI is going to have a lot of impact on our lives, because the convenience is ridiculous.
It wasn't until she started reading it. Actually, it wasn't until she said, I'm the fake Kim Johnson, that I realized it was AI. The first part of
you did
so much inflection in there that it's like, oh, yeah, that's really Kim reading this.
Yeah, okay, I could have totally done it, too. You're absolutely right. Yeah. But then would have been inconvenient, so I went with the robot. We had some stuff drop from our list, so we had to move things around, and as a result, no real Fletcher this week, but don't worry.
Aww.
We still wanted to explain what the hell was going on with Hollow Man, directed by Paul Verhoeven, starring Kevin Bacon, Elizabeth Shue, Josh Brolin, and a bunch of others.
Oh my god. I mean, you can't gloss over this cast too much, because you got
Save the Chili.
Joey Slotnick. You've got
Joey Slotnick was having a moment, huh?
No, he really was. That was his time.
Yeah.
But William Devane, skinny William Devane. Yeah, skinnier William Devane.
Skinny-ish. Yeah. You got your Greg Grunberg in here.
Grunberg, Grunny.
Yeah.
Running around in there.
Yeah.
Talk about, skinny Greg Grunberg, too.
Yeah, skinny and young. You got your
horny.
Yeah, Brent horny. Burke. It's very horny. Yeah. All of them are horny. This whole place
all
is
of them are horny.
This whole movie is horny. You're right. It's yeah. the...
Look, I've been woken up by very little in my life. Somebody walk by with me and poke me a little bit or act like they're putting a spider on me. I will wake up immediately. The way they were portraying these female people.
Comatose.
Where they Comatose. Were like going, oh, having like a little moment in their dreams.
Kim
like,
Dickens.
Hollow man. Dickens women totally can sleep through anything.
Pretty much. That's a great. That's my Twitter post. Thank
it's,
you.
Yeah. Well done. This is weird because I think I said it last week, but this is the only Verhoeven movie I've never seen, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And so this was my first time seeing this, and it was not what I thought I remember everyone saying about it. I thought everyone said it was like this really deep psychological horror, more closer akin to the new Invisible Man, you know, a little darker, whatever. I mean, it's dark, but it's not dark in the way I thought everybody meant. It's more like
it's very superficial, right? This guy is all libido.
Yeah.
And that's like giving him God a superpower unlocks that and gets rapey.
Yeah, immediately. Yeah. Like, they didn't even have the excuse early on that he had some kind of, you know, that it was going to make him insane or whatever.
Right.
Well,
they
did, but they kind of talked about that with the gorilla.
Right, saying that the gorilla got more aggressive and violent once it...
Yeah, but not horny. They never mentioned horny. So, and the dog definitely did not seem horny. He still seemed happy. Well, until he got smashed in the box. But
Staken was horny or...
he was already horny.
He was already horny. He was already looking at Tomb Raider across the street.
I gotcha. So it just enhances. It zooms and enhances your worst traits.
By the way, we have a new Hollywood doppelganger to talk about. That woman looks identical to Kim Basinger, or not Kim Basinger. Underworld. What's her name?
Kate
Beckinsale. To me, they are identical human beings.
I didn't hardly see her from across the room. Oh, we did get to see her closer. And then she disappeared after that. I don't know what he did to her.
No, but she's checking the bucket.
Checking the bucket across the street. I don't know which version
Tara from
you
Boston
guys
Legal.
Watched.
Are we talking about Tara from Boston Legal?
I don't know. Is that who
I
that
never
is?
Watched Boston Legal, so I'm going to
Tomb Raider.
Sebastian Rona.
Talking about Lara Croft.
When was she Tomb Raider? She was Tomb Raider?
Rona Mitra was Tomb Raider for like one hot minute or something.
Right. Was that the straight to video one? What was that?
Let me find it.
She was also in Underworld. Okay, that might explain some things.
Well, or was she considered? Ooh, maybe. She did something Tomb Raider, and
maybe she just cosplayed
The Loft. It's gonna be funny if it was The Loft and you're confusing Lara Croft and
with the Loft. Laura Loft.
That would be the problem.
I'm gonna do a little googling.
Yeah, do a little googling. Let's find out what's going on with her. But when I first saw her, I went, "Oh, Kate Beckinsale's in this. Weird. I didn't see her in the credits." And then I went and looked. I'm like, "I don't see her in here." And then I found her.
Is she supposed to be kin to Beckinsale in Beckinsale? I want to say bacon because
Beckinsale.
I can't stop with bacon.
A good Beckinsale. There's nothing wrong with that.
Beckinsale.
No, she's not. So what her role in Underworld is not to look related. Like her. She's just a different vampire lady.
Gotcha.
Here we go. Mitra appeared as the live-action model for Lara Croft, the lead character in Eidos Interactive's Tomb Raider video game series before Angelina Jolie took the role for the two Tomb Raider films.
I like how she took the role. Give me that.
Yeah, stole it. Just snatched her right away.
Give me that role. Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't realize they
like
were
some tater tots off a school lunch plate.
She was tied into that. Oh yeah, look at her here.
She's a big old trope. Besides Chicken the Bucket, this is a trope filled movie, and she's one
hilarious.
Of the most
what is the name of this trope? What do you call it?
Oh, the woman that you only see naked because I guess she just can't help but throw her clothes off.
All she does is come home and undress in front of the window. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's where I think this thing, you know, the sensibilities from 2000 versus the sensibilities from 2023, why this thing is just so hard to watch now is that, okay, they're almost saying that, well, you know, Kevin Bacon kind of had the right to do that because she was asking for it. Obviously nobody's saying that. Don't write any letters.
That's 2000 victim blaming. Right. Yeah.
Right.
That is 2000 victim blaming. And it's the same thing with Kim Dickens' character. It's the same thing with, Elizabeth Shue's character. It's sexual assault is shown in a way that is, well, to use, I can't think of another word, but titillating and you know,
but I don't want to use this word. I don't want to use this word in anything else.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. Instead of it being like really distasteful, creepy, awful and terrible. Yeah. It's portrayed in a way.
I'm unbuttoning this button now. Oh, I'm unbuttoning this button.
Yeah.
I love Greg Grunberg's character and how he's just like, he's an enabler. He's over there looking at the porn magazines and
it's
totally
still enabling the bacon.
Yeah, but then when things go to shit, he's very I don't know. He's sort of Mr. Innocent the whole time. But they're
except
all just a
when
bunch
he got
of
his
pervs.
Face shoved through into that. Oh my god, that was the most
into
painful
the wall,
of all the
metal
deaths.
Wall thing. Yeah,
yeah, that was bad.
Because it's like, all right, and half a foot left, and he just would have been unconscious. But that thing like impaled his face. Oh. Or his neck or whatever.
So this is another movie. Again, we're so many tropes. But this movie follows the common trope of the video game kills, right? As soon as you realize, oh, he's gonna kill everybody, but maybe someone will survive, you start wondering who's gonna be the survivor. Oh, whose name did I see at the beginning of the credits? And this one really follows the trope. Like, it starts out, he kills the oldest guy, then he kills the black woman, then he just works his way through, you know.
He kills the most powerful and smartest people first, because she's the only one that I'm like, she was like me, oh, this mofo is invisible, guess what, we got 1,000 of those goggles around here,
right?
I'm gonna shit with one on because I don't trust this guy at all.
Exactly. And, meanwhile, everybody's like taking him off.
Yeah,
come on, taking him off. It's like, no, you've got invisible Sebastian running around. That thing stays on your face the whole time until he's.
Yeah, we're making our plans, and no one's looking around going, I sure hope Sebastian's not hanging around listening to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was all pretty weird. I also just think my biggest problem with the entire movie, like the whole thing is solved by everyone having a pair of the goggles and wearing them all the time.
And they kind of answer these as along the way. They put a character in a situation where it's, oh, the steam is the same temperature as him.
The air now is the same temperature as his
and
body.
I get that, but here's the other problem. The whole idea is that, you know, the military is going to use this, right?
Right.
Well, if you can see them with infrared, then what's the point? What's the point? Right. You'll always know who you're targeting, and you'll take him out no problem.
Eventually, like, everybody
really good
glasses,
in
right?
places that are hot, but not too hot, but kind of hot, but not too hot.
For spies, right? You're gonna make the ultimate spies who can get in and do anything and kill people without being detected.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they also make some other assumptions about the technology. Like, there's no So if you've eaten, if you're an invisible man and you've eaten food, the food itself.
Until it becomes part of your body.
Yeah, if it metabolizes.
Was he just throwing up bile? Because if it was just bile, then I guess you could make, you know, it touched the other cells, so therefore it also phase shifted.
That's so
stupid. Yeah, otherwise, too many times they did stuff that was unnecessary to make me question.
Okay.
I hate to say Chevy Chase movie got it right, but that was the one thing. Like, Chevy Chase is invisible and he's eating in front of a mirror and he sees the food going into his stomach and he immediately throws it up because it's so disgusting.
Yeah. Like, there is something to credit that movie for, because this is the Invisible Man. When you start to really explore the idea, it starts to really have holes in it. Like, it's got problems. Right. So we all think, oh, it'd be great if he'd be invisible. I'd run up to that guy and knock his hat off in the mall, and then you'd think there were ghosts or whatever. Like, there's all these fun things you would do as an invisible person.
Sure.
I just don't think any of it holds up with, like, almost anything.
I think it's kind of fascinating how they handled some of the story points too, because they made all the doctors, this is a trope, all scientists and doctors are super rich. These guys are all super rich. So they don't have any desire. They didn't put on their list of what to do if you're invisible. They didn't put steal stuff, because that's how most of us average people go, oh, steal stuff. But you know, they went for, all they had was God mode, molest women. That was all he really wanted to do.
And that's Paul Verhoeven, right? Like, if you thought he got it out of his system with Showgirls, he did not.
No, he did not.
And this is like, I want to defend this movie on one level, and that is, he's pretty good at constructing a film. Like, right. Like I love some of the shots in this movie, especially the first time you look into the elevator shaft. I'm like, why is he really showing off this elevator shaft? I bet we're coming back here sometime. And that kind of thing, it's really competent. You really like the story's really tight. I would say too tight. This could have used a little more exposition.
Tight.
But see, so like, I want to defend some of this because there's, like I understand why it was made and produced and released.
Oh yeah.
It's just, absolutely. It's just, you can't stop.
Just sound like Cocaine Bear was in the background of Randy's
car. Like it got the getaway car finally arrived.
Yeah.
Weird. You can't stop seeing Paul Verhoeven's fetishes and sexual desires all over the movie.
Yeah. Right. There's a lot of it. Yeah. It's just, it's from his old, I don't know, the Germans, they freak me out. But here's the thing though. I was going to say about his desire to, since we're giving compliments, let me get mine out of the way. My major compliment of this film, I get one big compliment. My big compliment is I actually think these effects look pretty rad. I think
Hold up. Especially the practical effects of when he's raping Kim Dickens, when she's trying to get a nap in. She's not Da Vinci.
Oh, I remember. And
they're pulling lines of, I guess, fishing wire through her hair and stuff. But they got this one thing. They taped some line to her boobie when they were like pulling on it or whatever. That was all. Those practical effects are really.
It's not really the first place I went, but I was thinking more like the hollow head with things like that,
the rubber mask and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. You wonder. Like, you have to think about. All right, so he's running around with like a green screen or green bodysuit on,
right?
And then this rubber mask over top of that, and then moving his mouth and stuff like that. I kept looking for because for a while he didn't have holes cut out of his nose. And I was waiting to like see it like expanding and contracting like a bullfrog's
yeah.
Just trying to breathe.
Are we gonna? I don't know. I can't really bring myself. I guess I'm just tired. Like the movie has me tired, and I can't bring myself to pick apart all of the little inaccuracies.
Right.
You know, like if you can't see him visibly, why can you see him in infrared? I don't get that at all. Like if he's phase shifted, he's not
he's
not visible at all. If you want to, if you really want to pick it apart like that, then you're just going to have a terrible time with this movie.
If he's phase shifted, how is he interacting with things in the real world? Is it lessened? Is it increased? Right. There's all kinds of questions I try.
Yeah. Did he have super strength from all of it? Like they implied that he kind of had an increased strength, but
he didn't have eyelids. So he saw the light, but what's the light reflecting off of? Outside of phase? It's like, I don't know.
I liked that as a concept though. And I'd never heard it before, but this concept of because you're invisible, your own skin that would normally block your vision is also invisible, aka your eyelids, and so without those you're very exposed to.
But how does the light refract on the back of your lenses so that you can see something?
No, you're totally right. It's all horseshit.
It's going all the way through you without touching anything.
Yeah, that's my whole point. It's like superficially cool idea, and then you start digging, you're like, oh man, there's so many holes.
Stop. Exactly. So that's the reason why I try to focus on stuff like, oh, how did he pull her boob like that without me knowing?
I always just want to stop and say, I didn't ask all these questions about whatever. RoboCop did not make me stop and say, well, they could never make that much strength out of that hydraulics. I don't care. It's because you're trying to tell me a story here, and I'm just gonna
all the
tell
conceits
it.
Are fine there. You can park it all. It's not a problem. But this one, for
who
some
was
reason,
mad? Who is mad at Elizabeth Shue? I was mad at Elizabeth Shue. Now this was this basic.
Once you tell me what you were mad at her about, I'll probably like,
I was pissed because it's like Kevin Bacon locks him in the deep freeze, turns the freeze all the way off. And what does she do? Oh, what can I possibly do? Well, how about the freaking wall mounted freezer? Just stop the fans, bust that thing up inside there. You got all the time in the world now. You don't have to freeze your butt off. Just smash it.
Yeah.
I actually wrote down that this ought to be a trope because I think it's so funny. When it comes down to you versus me, we each have to retreat to our own science rooms where we do some science to see who's going to win.
That was fun.
Yeah, and do it like an A-team montage kind of.
It was definitely some MacGyver. There was so much MacGyvering in this shit. I loved it.
Oh, huge MacGyver moments. I guess my problem with Elizabeth Shue was actually more basic and practical, and it was that she smiles at all the wrong times.
It's actually very disturbing, and I kind of liked it after a while. At first, I was like,
when she's pissed, she's like, in dire straits, and she's grinning while she's having dialogue. Yeah. Just like,
don't you know some
that?
People like that, though? Some of the most dangerous people I know are smilers.
Well, it's but she's not dangerous, though.
You do not want to F with her. She destroys Kevin Bacon by the end of this movie.
Let me rephrase that. I mean, she's not she's not devious up until that moment that she kind of fakes him out with the kiss and then the stepping on the elevator, the magic elevator release button.
when she lit him up and slid into the closing doors of the elevator and kept those things open with her legs, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. Well, she's badass. But it's not like a dangerous smile, like I know something you don't know, so I'm smiling. No, it was just like I'm having fun in this movie.
Yeah,
so
that's
I'm
the
smiling.
Exactly. She's making the smile like she's, you know, Adventures in Babysitting 2 or something. Like she just got this face.
Yeah. Right. You want to rewatch The Saint once again? It's like one of those movies for me. Everybody's got these movies that no one else watches over and over, but it made me want to rewatch The Saint again. But it also made me question: does Elizabeth Shue always take these roles? Like, was she drawn to these roles women who don't behave like any normal woman would behave?
Yeah. I think she does. I think it's.
She does some of the other stuff too, like Karate Kid and early role for her, but still she was like your prototypical 80s girlfriend and a girl in a movie.
And she I have to say her affable nature worked really well as a discordant thing when it came to The Boys, for example. I thought her role in The Boys was really served by that ability. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just a matter of somebody pulling it out of her. She was like in Leaving Las Vegas, she's incredible in that movie. She didn't do any of this weird facial stuff, and that was 5 years prior to this.
No, because there's zero smiling in that film.
what doesn't she have to smile about? She's sleeping with beefy Josh Brolin. You know, she's got the dream job, apparently.
Yeah.
What does she not have to smile about?
Yeah. I mean,
once again, my friends, I just want to suggest that you watch Chasing Mavericks. It is streaming on Disney Plus. It is a wonderful little movie, and Elizabeth Shue does some really good acting. Mavericks.
Oh, we actually, you recommended that, and I put it on the list.
Yeah. She was great in Greyhound as well, but she was barely in it, but she was great for the moment she was in it.
Was this really the straightest Josh Brolin's ever acted in a film? I mean, he was fine. He just acted very just.
Was this the most Matt Dillon Josh Brolin could ever be? Or maybe is it just because Kevin Bacon was also in Wild Things?
Oh, you know what? You're not wrong. They could have swapped him. You're totally right. This is a Matt Dillon role. Yep, for sure. I mean, I love Josh Brolin's recent career. I'd say from No Country Forward has been nothing but great for me. But prior to that, I guess I really never saw anything prior to that. And this is one of the first things, this and Goonies.
It wasn't a bad performance. It just seemed counter to what I know Josh Brolin can do.
Yeah, it's because you've seen him since.
Mimic, too, which we watched for Film Sac.
Oh, I don't remember him in Mimic. That's cool. I loved Mimic, but I don't remember him in there.
Say Mimic again.
I'm going to say it one more time. Mimic. Mimic.
Anybody have an opinion on Josh Brolin as George W. Bush in that movie?
Oh, I never saw it.
No,
never saw it. Didn't see was that. It good? Oh, I heard it was all right. Vice? W or no?
Or W.
Yeah, it's called W, right. W. Yeah. He just had this tremendous run. I remember going to the movies in like 2007 to 2009, and Josh Brolin was just nailing it every time you saw him. Like, I mean, he was the bad guy in Milk, but what a performance.
Oh, he's so good in Milk. Yeah. Milk's, he's great in Milk, but his, like, I hate to swing it all
doesn't
over
get
to
soggy in Milk either.
No, I don't. Not at all. I hate swinging it all back to MCU. We had a little pre-show talk about it, but I cannot imagine Thanos as anyone else. I can't imagine anybody being Thanos besides him. He's so good in that role.
I had one idea. I didn't say it earlier, but I have one idea that I've always thought since the first time we saw Thanos in the MCU, and that was, it could have been awesome if it was Luis Guzman.
Yeah.
It would have been a very different movie.
Yeah, but very I different see it. Take.
I would love, you know what? It's not a terrible idea for some sort of parody or whatever.
Yeah. He's from East Cree.
Different Cree.
East side of Cree.
I really like him in almost anything, but I feel like he needed to be an older, grizzled guy for me to really get into him. Because in this, he's just too, well, like you said, he's Matt Dillon, a little stockier Matt Dillon, really. And that's, you know,
I don't know anybody really.
I guess I'm a little bugged at how far, 23 years ago is how old this movie is. Right. That sounds insane to me to say those words out loud and that, you know, that much time has gone, but that's the truth of it. And
there's
everybody
so much
here.
There's so much energy in this film. It's Kevin Bacon, Elizabeth Shue, Josh Brolin, all these guys. They just seem to have. It just seems like this. So there's such energy in this film.
Well, they're playing egomaniacal people. Like he stands out because the whole point of his character is that he's an egomaniac. Mm. But if you take him out of the movie completely, you're going to see the others as all a bunch
they're
of ego
all still
people too.
Very, very much. I wrote down my notes like flatliners. Like, you know, you've got a bunch of pretty people, egomaniacs doing science. Things go wrong. They keep it to themselves and kind of try and, you know, solve the problem on their own. And, people die.
It's funny. I
want you guys
to
guess how old Kevin Bacon was when they made the movie.
42.
39.
Oh, you looked it up.
39.
Oh, did I?
Oh, was he 42? Really?
Wow. No, that was a wild stab. Really I thought 42? the answer is always 42. That's not a lookup.
The answer to life, the universe, life, and Kevin Bacon's age when he made Hollow Man.
Well, I do remember in 2000 when this came out, and I didn't see it, but I remember reading reviews and other stuff and seeing screenshots, and I remember going, Kevin Bacon's old. I guess we're in the old phase of Kevin Bacon.
Well, and Elizabeth Shue was about 36 when they filmed the movie, and I find it a bit discordant in that way because these people are, you know, they're not middle-aged. I'm just saying they are experienced adults.
Yeah.
And the roles feel like they're written for hot, you know, like hotshot scientists in their 20s.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, you know, written like that.
Yeah, which is, again, the Flatliners thing's a perfect comparison because that's what they were aiming for there. Everybody's
it
a little sexy.
Like it's in the same universe as Flatliners.
Yeah, right? And Greg Grunberg is kind of your
Oliver Platt.
Oliver Platt of this, yeah. In some ways, it's very templated to that.
Joyce Lonick is definitely not your Baldwin brother.
No. No. I have to say, though, I think I prefer, if you're saying to me, hey, Scott, both movies are on the table, you have to pick a better movie, I think Flatliners is better than this.
Oh, absolutely. I think it is too.
Yeah.
Joey Slotnick, though, I wish his character got a little more developed. I didn't feel nearly bad enough when he died. Yeah, just like, eh.
It's like, oh, okay, he's down. Okay, yeah. Well, we'll just live with it.
Bummer. Okay,
that happened.
He's interesting.
It's like Paul Verhoeven is cursed. You can feel that he could make a really great movie. You can feel like he's got the tools and the skills, right?
Right.
And then I just want you to know, I have right here in my hand the DVD of Showgirls that includes the David Schmader commentary track.
Oh my lord.
Randy's most prized possession.
Yeah.
Don't touch it.
It is.
Try that from his cold dead hands.
That's right.
It is the greatest worst movie that has ever been made. Wow. Like there is no movie that is as greatly bad,
right,
as this one.
Wow.
And I think that's an achievement. Oh, I really do. Man. I think Verhoeven should be lauded for how wonderfully bad Showgirls is.
Well, I mean,
I was hoping for some of that in this movie.
Oh, yeah, maybe some of that. But also, there is a bit of that. I mean, it's not, there's a lot, there's some pretty bad dialogue, and there's some other stuff that just feels a little Verhoeven-y for my taste. But Verhoeven was so perfectly suited for wacky out there science fiction. And every one of those movies I love. I love RoboCop to this day. It's probably my favorite Verhoeven movie. Okay. It's right up there with Total Recall.
Better be your favorite.
Total Recall is awesome. Don't get me wrong. I really like Starship Troopers, and that has grown on me more over time. Mm.
Okay. Sure.
But
okay.
He's made for that bullshit. That's what his job should be. And instead he goes off and does different stuff, and it's all none of that and is very good to me. Everything else.
So here's my big question that I wrote down and I wanted to ask you, because I was asking myself, do I like this movie more now than I would have in 2000? And I think the answer is yes. I think it's true for Starship Troopers. I definitely like it more now than I would have or I did in
Starship Troopers for sure. Yeah. This one I can't say because I didn't see it then, but I don't like it
as much as I did in 2000. I can answer that.
I don't like it.
Don't like it.
What is it? So is it easy? Can you break down where do you think it's failed? I mean, you and I had a very brief text conversation about this, and you've already brought it up here, but the way the movie handles these sexual assaults, which is what they are, is really, I don't even know if then I would, it just feels really uncomfortable, all of it.
I mean, seeing it then, I don't remember that being, it's always hard to watch, but I don't remember it being as hard to watch as it was watching it this time. I'm like, oh my God, yeah, this needs to be shorter. He needs not to do this. The director's cut or the other version that's available on HBO Max, shows it like 2 or 3 seconds more of the assault on the woman across the street, but you also get the aftermath with her crying on the bed.
Okay.
Kind of in fetal position. So
we get an answer. Okay, that's good.
You get an answer, and then he's looking across the street. Right, because with that edited out, and him talking to Grunberg and saying, I scared her. I scared a woman a little bit. It was kind of fun. Right. You know, it almost says, okay, well, maybe he didn't do anything in that version of the film.
Right.
This other version where it's like, oh, yeah, you see her a mess afterwards.
And was it rated differently?
Across the street and realizing,
was that cut rated differently? Do you know? Or maybe
it's unrated.
Unrated. Yeah. Okay. It's,
I'm looking right here. It's 7 minutes longer and it's unrated.
See, that makes me think that they were going to maybe get too much into NC-17 territory or something. Maybe. I don't know.
This movie's already close. Like, it felt like they were. Yeah. Like they were edited to get out of NC-17.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. And that's a Verhoeven deal. Fatal Attraction, similar vibe to a lot of it. I don't know. The guy's got these, I guess what I'm saying is he's got these like crazy skills for bombastic things.
Right.
But then anything that isn't sci-fi, I just like check out. I'm just not interested.
It was very engaging. I still enjoyed the adventure, the ride. I was engaged the whole time.
There is a ride. I will give you that. There's music for the ride. There's the technology or the special effects are pretty good. Whenever you got wet from water and you could kind of see him translucently, I thought that stuff held up better. Way better.
Walking through the smoke was cool.
Yep, that was cool. His blood spatter all over him, where it's only part of him got splashed with the blood.
Oh, that was such a cool idea when she started throwing blood everywhere. I mean, it was unfortunate because it didn't work. But when she starts spreading that blood everywhere, once again, like I said, her character did everything that was logical to somebody in that situation.
Kim Dickens.
Can you imagine how long it would take you to make a good puddle of blood around yourself using those bags? Yeah, it would take you like 20 minutes.
Yeah. It wouldn't be
Dude, do you have a carpet knife handy?
I kept just thinking, I'm like, well, Grunberg, one step closer to death. Okay, she threw another bag. All right, he's not going to make it for sure now. Oh, she threw the third bag. And now her neck's broken. Yeah. Grunberg's done. Yeah. He's out.
Sorry, Grunberg.
Sorry, buddy. But I don't know. I felt bad for her character because she really got hosed, like having her break your neck in the pile of blood, just awful.
Yeah, that's what was so brutal about it, right? It's like, okay, she's knocked out, she's no longer a threat, and he's gonna go ahead and kill her now.
I honestly can't believe they did that dog thing. The dog thing is wild.
The dog thing was
I'm
like, y'all better brutal. Have a big old fat no animals were harmed at the end of this one. You better make that thing
make it
giant
clear.
Size.
And it's really just to say, all right, see, he's an asshole. Oh, look, he's an asshole. Yep. Here's another thing he does. And if the stuff against women doesn't bother you, look, against animals, see, he's an asshole.
Yeah.
I actually wrote down, I'm glad that the dog killing came after some raping and human killing, because it would have been, if it had been first, it would have been too much for me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, my brain would have completely
They spent some time desensitizing you to the horribleness of this character, so that by the time that happened, you're like, well, that'll probably be that we've already peaked.
That'll be the worst thing that he'll do.
And I'm not saying that I think that dog killing is worse than human killing. I'm saying that as viewers, we see other humans as being flawed. Maybe that we understand that they're, this person has reasons for those killings, whereas animals are perfectly innocent. Yeah. And, you know, like, that's just how we react.
Right.
And like, oh my gosh, I was just like, I squealed a little bit when he smashed the
I was cringed for sure.
Like, yeah, it was really like in that way, just from a technical achievement, if you can even say that about such a thing, it was extremely effective because A, there's no real dog getting hurt. And B, the way they did the tech, they did it all in the infrared. And he took an actual dog out of screen for a second, out of camera view, and then came back in.
Magic trick, didn't it?
Yeah, but also because it was not overt or, you know, like in your face blood or any of that, it's almost worse because all you got is your imagination and this
image. The dog going, meep.
Yeah, it's rough, man. It's rough.
It is something that we've learned in, there's a language that we've learned over time watching movies that it doesn't, when you see an animal like Randy was saying, get killed, that's impactful. We kill humans in movies in that language all the time. It's just, you know, we doesn't even affect us anymore. In real life, if you saw a dog get killed versus a human getting killed, you might actually be, you'd probably be more impacted by the human getting killed. For sure.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh man, there's so much to say about William Devane's scene in the pool. That really got to me. I didn't like any of that.
I'm like, that was like the... I was like, how does he think he's going to get away with this? How is he? Obviously, he did it. Yeah. Obviously.
Obviously, there's like little wet footprints leading away from it. Was there a part of you that was thinking, oh my God, the wife is going to look out the window and say, honey, quit playing in the pool and like close and just kind of disregard him?
Verhoeven did a really good job. This is something that's always difficult to do in movies, is you kind of don't want the maniacal person to get caught. Like in the scene where Elizabeth Shue is in Kevin Bacon's apartment, and you can see in the background the neighbor's windows, you keep kind of worrying that she's going to turn around. She keeps threatening to turn around, and she kind of looks around, and you're like, oh, she's going to see what's going on. You don't want to get caught. Same with the pool thing.
Right.
It's like, even though you're like, part of you is like, oh, no, you got to save that guy. Another part, you're like, oh, I hope we don't get caught.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Here's some fun William Devane trivia, by the way. He was born in Albany, New York. He is the son of Joseph Devane, who served as Franklin D. Roosevelt's chauffeur when he was governor of New York. That's pretty cool.
Well, that is really cool.
That's the most trivial thing I've heard in a long time.
That's pretty damn trivial.
That is the best trivia.
When I see William Devane's in a thing, I have to admit, I get a little excited. I really like that guy. I think he's great.
And I'll keep pushing you to watch that Rob Lowe TV show from several years ago that featured William Devane in a daily or in a every episode kind of role, and it was called not the closer but something like
the grinder, right?
The grinder, that's it. Yeah,
I have this on my it's right here in my queue. Why have I not watched this yet?
It's great. It is.
Is William Devane's nose big or not? I can never tell. It's like,
is it big nose or not?
No, it's not. It's,
maybe he's just a small man with a normal nose. You know,
no, he's got a normal nose.
Well, that's what I was saying. But then some of the shots, I was like, my God, he's got a big schnauz. And I'm like, no, he doesn't.
My friends, whenever William Devane comes up, or James Garner, James Cromwell, Donald Sutherland, Tommy Lee Jones, Clint Eastwood, whenever any of these men come up, I always have to check. We cannot sack Space Cowboys this month. However, I will check again next month. We will eventually sack Space Cowboys.
Yeah, absolutely. We should.
Yeah.
He's just great. He's the same age as my mom. Still kicking it. Still doing stuff. He's cool. I like that guy. Yeah.
Maybe not a big nose, but big nostrils.
There it is. That's what's probably confusing me.
Also,
the nostrils.
Why do they think I was going to be convinced that that ape was real at the beginning? I don't mean the CG muscle on the table parts. I don't mean that. I mean like when it was in its cage being a regular old ape.
Walking around ape.
Yeah. Some bullshit.
No, you got some walking around ape.
Yeah.
I want to give some credit. That look, the fake animals were really good.
Some of them were bad. The ape was bad, is what I'm saying.
The real animals were pretty good.
Yeah.
But the fake animals were also really good.
Yeah.
Those chimps, really good chimps.
Yeah. Really good chimps.
Acting. Yeah.
What happened to that one dog that was invisible? Is that the one he smashed?
That's the one he smashed.
Yeah. I wasn't sure because it was infrared, and I was like,
it just wouldn't stop barking.
Yeah. It was
did every animal we see, are we supposed to believe that is an animal that is either slated to be turned invisible or was turn invisible before, yeah, and they're just monitoring it now?
I think so.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, they turned the dog invisible. They were going to turn those chimpanzees invisible. They just never got to it.
I remember
there's a real zoo down there. Who takes care of all this? Is it Joey Slotnick feeding all those?
She's the best veterinarian in the world.
Okay. Josh Brolin. He's the one who takes care of the animals, right? Apparently, he's so stupid.
Well, no, Matthew. Like, they even say why did you hire her? Because she's the best veterinarian in the world. Yeah.
Yeah, but then why is Matthew Kensington character, the Josh Brolin character, like such a dumbass? And he's like, hey, there's a big gorilla in here. I'm going to step in here by myself with the door open and give it a shot, even though it's obviously angry.
Yeah.
And I was like,
Do you notice this movie had a Ghostbusters problem? And let me explain. Mm-mm. So
one giant Twinkie.
Yeah, the Twinkie. That's hilarious.
No, but do you know, like, here, let me pull up Ghostbusters so I can make sure I don't screw up names.
I was so pissed at that Twinkie eating. I couldn't stand it.
What? Okay, hold on. I want to unpack that. What are you talking about?
Every time he had a Twinkie, he'd only take one bite out of it, and he'd bite it like he was pissed at, like he was trying to bite the Twinkie head off or something. It's like, Twinkie head. Arr, arr, arr.
That was weird. You're not
right. And they would never eat the rest of it.
It was very weird.
What are you doing?
Who I was thinking of. So this movie has an Ernie Hudson problem, a Winston Zeddemore problem. And that is that we have an actress in here we have not mentioned even once. And her name is Mary Randall. And she plays the character.
We mentioned her a couple times.
Did we? Did we?
Yeah. She's the one with the blood, right? She's the blood getter off her.
No.
Yeah, Janice.
No. She's not the one with the blood. The one.
No, she's the. No, what she's the black woman that dies first.
Yeah, the black woman.
Yeah, we mentioned that she's. You know, she gets caught on the toilet.
That's Kim Dickens. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Apparently,
yeah.
If you sign up for this movie, we're going to show you half naked, and she's shown half naked using a toilet. And, it's gross.
I just feel like she got the same treatment in this movie that Ernie Hudson got. It just was such a small role. You know, barely anything to say about it. She wasn't given much to work with.
I was curious if there wasn't they kind of hinted at it, and I was hoping they would make it deeper. Frank, Joey Slotnick and her character were working a lot together, and they had a little bit of back and forth. A
little chemistry.
I was hoping that they were implying that they were having a relationship just like Josh Brolin.
Right. Why do Linda and Matthew get to have full-blown sexual relationship, but Frank and Janice are just flirting a tiny bit?
Yeah. Because I would have needed that, because I felt bad for Janice because she was doing all the right things. And when she died, I'm like, dang it, I hate when people are doing the right things get killed, because that's me. But then, you know, the Frank Chase character didn't care because he didn't have any love interest. It's like, oh, what do I care? He didn't have anybody.
Yeah. No, that's
him
true.
And Carter.
Yeah, that's true.
Carter and his relationship with his Penthouse magazine.
Or whatever. I don't know what that was. Yeah. It was some off-brand one. I couldn't tell what the hell he had there. But
boobs. It's called boobs.
So the two major bits of product placement I noticed were the Coke, obviously. That was hard to not notice.
Dr. Pepper as well or something.
Did they have a Dr. Pepper? I don't remember that.
I only remember Coke. But
I only remember the Coke. And then these Nokia computers that I don't think even exist. I don't know what those were, but they was like all-in-one kind of iMac-looking things. And they had like weird D-pads on them, and they were Nokia.
D-pad.
And I remember, as I'm watching that, I'm like, I got to find out if that shit is real, because I don't think so.
This movie was made like a minute before everybody started texting on phones. And I was thinking about how interesting it would have been if the Invisible Man was walking around naked, but he was holding a phone. You could see the phone floating down the street. Yeah. And then he has to stop and text back to Elizabeth Shue and tell her to screw off. You know,
wish you could harass some more kids. That was what I was.
Yeah, that'd be all right. But they just spent so much time. Well, I guess not a lot of time, but they were using these things like it was today with full screen video conferencing, like they were using Zoom or something. That shit did not exist in the year 2000. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about the Nokia monitors.
Yeah, the Nokia looking desktop the Nokia things. Monitors.
I don't remember not phones, computers, but
yeah, not phones. It was like a full-on Nokia standalone monitor thing.
Yeah. Those. I just did a search on that too, and they also have it in Gone in 60 Seconds in 2000. I wonder if it's the same props. Is it the same movie studio?
No, who knows? But they probably had a deal going with the studio. Yeah. Who knows? But anyway, just kind of cracked me up. An anatomically correct, totally working computer model was created of Kevin Bacon's entire body, right down to his last capillary.
Down to his last bacon bits.
Yep, his bacon bits. This 3D model, by the way, has been donated to scientific researchers and is still in use today. They still use it today. It's a big model of the human.
Pull up the bacon. Pull human, it up. There, human, we go. There it is.
Musculature, circulatory system, freaking nervous system, all that stuff. It's crazy.
So but, do we know whether Kevin enjoyed showing his bacon or this was a problem for him as an actor? Like, do we have any idea?
Seems like he showed it a lot. So I'm guessing not a problem.
Well, did we only caught a glimpse of it while he was still fleshy and not.
Of those infrared scenes, he has to be running around naked with his junk flopping around in front of a camera somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. That was real bacon bits. The other stuff.
That was not CGI bacon.
No, the other stuff was CGI bacon.
Which is crazy because we're 9 years away from Dr. Manhattan really going nuts with this, you know?
Yeah.
Really letting it out. Oh, I didn't actually mean
because
to do that.
Because of the nuts.
I didn't mean to actually do that, but well called out.
I just remember mostly the wiener. I don't remember much about the nuts, but I'll take your word for it.
Check this out. This is what I love. When a bunch of Germans are making a movie, director Paul Verhoeven and director of photography Jost Valcano had to be informed on set as to what Sebastian's, quote, Marco Polo, unquote, taunt meant. As Verhoeven is from the Netherlands, I guess he's not German, and Vacano is from Germany, neither had ever heard of the game.
That why it fell so flat? It felt so weird when they made that reference.
It was weird. Even if they finally got told on set, it still came off weird.
And I really wanted to revisit that when he was in the pool. You know, like he pops up, Marco, and then he pushes down the guy down in the water again, the drowns.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That didn't happen.
That's terrible.
That is terrible. But we've seen a dog slaughtered, so now it's fine.
We've been desensitized.
It's fine. I wrote here that they sure did that rat dirty in the opening scene, but I forgot all about it since the dog part. So, you know, once the dog thing happened, it was like no big deal.
No, but they did do the rat dirty, man. That thing was,
torn to bits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the CGI of it getting eaten, sure, but it definitely looked like it was under some distress as a real rat before the CGI rat took over.
Yep. You're not wrong.
I got a trope in there.
Oh, you do? Do you? Ooh. Hold on. Let me signify that with a sound clip. Hold on. Where is it? That's not it.
A street person is going to witness something.
Oh, yeah.
No. Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't harass him enough either, though.
A really well-designed street person. Like, somebody spent hours putting together the basket and the wardrobe.
Somebody went down to Walgreens, stole a buggy. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was cool. There is a note in here that I wrote that said, you know what? Let's just go ahead and do this.
Gross.
What grossed me out? You're going to be, I think this is going to be hard because it's kind of gross all over, but what grossed me out?
Is it the, you put a picture of the urinal and looking at a urinal in infrared with pee, what looks like warm pee all over the urinal, not just in the bottom part where you're supposed
That's
to.
It. Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah. You got it on the first guess. I thought your guys were going to struggle. That is 100% the grossest thing I saw in the movie. And it wasn't. It's fake or whatever. It doesn't even, but the implication that whoever peed there.
I live such a sheltered life. Even in a small workplaces where I've worked, where there's only like one person who is of a different sex, you still don't have a lady going in where the men urinals are. That's just weird.
You never had a unisex.
Unusual to me. This is not Ally McBeal for me. This is unusual to have this unisex.
I've had the one bathroom. Place I worked, small company I worked for. We had a unisex bathroom, but the urinals were closed off or something. Like,
really?
If it's shared toiletries, if it's just shared, just why even have the stand up toilets? Just all sit down.
Right
just there, done.
Yeah. I can't remember how we did it. There were urinals, but they were like in a, maybe it was cordoned off or something. I can't remember.
Right.
And also people,
police tape,
people tried, people tried really hard not to use it at the same time. I do remember that. So like if somebody was in there, you're like, oh, I'm not going in while she's in there.
Well, I mean, why would you have open urinals in a unisex bathroom?
You just wouldn't.
Well, not in that proximity.
That whole bathroom just seemed really, it was so huge. And the toilet almost looked like it was on a stage in front of the
room. Yeah.
Yeah. That was really weird.
It's weird.
Yeah.
What can I offer what frustrated me the most? Like, what thing in the movie, if it happened to me in real life, would just drive me crazy?
Mm. Okay. Cutting eye holes with something on your face with scissors right by your eyes.
That was crazy.
Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah. That was pretty bad, crazy. But for some reason, I was just annoyed to the end of my life by the idea of sitting in front of a swivel mirror and somebody's moving that mirror.
Frank.
Like, what? Like it is more annoying to me than just like smacking me in the face.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, just
would have been great if he would have slowly moved as opposed to like quickly. Like, that would really piss me off. Right. Just like,
yeah.
What is this? I need to tighten this up or something? What's going on right now?
Yeah. Some WD-40 on there. You'd be all set. I will say that the film transfer was really good. I want to give some credit to Max on the HBO. Sure. I got to start calling them Max because they're taking the HBO Max. Off.
Yeah. That's shortly. It's still HBO Max as of today,
25th,
right? Like end of this month.
5 days, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, the transfer or just whatever, the quality of this looked really freaking good. And
were
I didn't
we digital
expect
distributing
that.
In 2000?
I mean,
that's still a
I
few years
know.
Away.
No, we didn't. That didn't start in earnest until... Well, wait, that's not true, because Phantom Menace, 99's Phantom Menace was digital.
Yeah, because that was one of the things he had, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but it looked real good, so
yeah.
Maybe they've got a master that's just solid or something. But they also did, they stole something from Speed. And that was
what did they steal from Speed?
That thing where they loop the camera.
Camera deal.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yep.
Let me go through the box of circuitry in here, and I'll just conveniently just put a couple of jumper cables on it.
Slightly totally won't look over as I'm like doing all this stuff to the camera. Which
not
to
mention.
Take, yeah.
It's like, we just happen to have a circuit board here that does exactly the job I need. All I got to do is put two jumper cables on it, and it will loop video.
And
oh my God.
It knows what to do.
Yeah, of course it does.
But the looper board, looper board.
A looper board. That's what he called
it, just
too.
Go eat a Twinkie, you freaking weirdo.
I don't understand why. Or he could have done the trope of the magical punch to the head that knocks Slotnick out. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only difference in this and Speed is in Speed, it all came down to... What's this crazy noticing the glitch?
Wildcats.
Yeah, watching her purse move or whatever in the
Hopper,
scene.
Yeah.
And this one, they never got to wherever the seams of the loop were.
Right, the clip. Yeah.
So I was about to say, you're all stupid because all you have to do is just sit and stare at it for a second like he did and you would have seen it.
Yeah. But this movie, it really does. I mean, it's always kind of like Cabin in the Woods. It gets really – one of the conceits you have to have in horror movies is that people are dumb, right? So it's always good to have a horror movie where you're out in the woods, you're isolated, and it's a bunch of dumb teenagers. You can easily just park your brain.
Of course.
But when it's a bunch of smart scientists,
it's harder.
You go, come on.
Yeah, it's harder. Yeah. And ones that are so if they are so in with the government and the military, there's no way that place isn't crawling with military police and guards and all that.
You just have the one guy outside just saying, hey, Sebastian, how you doing?
And they waved it away and said, we're giving you free reign, but if you don't show us some results soon, we're going to really crack down. And just,
Yeah, that's no good. William Devane, I think, failed everybody with his...
He really did.
With his slow to call anybody. Yeah. Slow to wake up those generals, unfortunately.
Yeah.
He's so how did Kevin Bacon survive the fire at the end before he climbs up the ladder and the elevator?
I was assuming that he survived because of his phase shifting did provide him some bit of protection against real world influences. That's all I can really explain.
Is that why he's able to kind of shake off the charred
shedding off the burnt skin as he's running away like ash. And I was like, okay, is that establishing?
That's another thing that annoyed me every time. So he gets burned and now he's on the ground. Stab him through the head with something because he's about to get up and do it again. And then when he gets electrocuted and you think he's dead again, no, stab him through the head or something. What are you guys doing? Yeah. Idiots,
There's something that's being portrayed as being specific to the surface of his skin.
Right.
Because you can kind of see him when he's underwater.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's like, I don't know. I'll allow it. It didn't bother
me. Yeah. That's kind of how it was too. I was like, okay, we've conceded that there's also something superhuman about it that would make him impossible to kill. You don't have to explain it to
them.
That was good.
Yeah, they didn't ever explain that, but he seemed to have greater strength, agility, survivability. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on there. But boy, what really did him in the end, like Ibbot said, is that thing that no elevator has. There's no such thing.
The emergency disconnect button.
Which I
you
guarantee
you. Step on if you had to climb out of the elevator. And
I guarantee if you climb up one of those shafts and you look for that, it ain't there. That doesn't exist.
You're wasting your time.
I wrote down the phrase 19th century elevator technology because it really felt to me like no elevator would ever behave at all, anything that was portrayed. The shaft itself was so much bigger than the elevator. I just everything about it. Like it starts falling, and the brakes, like elevator brakes, are a really common technology that was worked out hundreds of years ago. Yeah. And elevator brakes work fast. They have to.
Yeah.
They can't, you know, like, and this one, oh no, the brakes are going to take about 7 floors of falling before they really stop that thing. That was nonsense.
You looked longingly at that shaft. I've noticed.
Yeah, you did. That's a curious shaft there, my friend.
Quite the shaft you've got. Yeah.
When the elevator passed by them going up, I was also like, well, if wherever was created the momentum, there's still going to be force behind it. There's no way if that thing just flew by, you would just go, oh, miss me. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's going to be some serious explosive forces coming up behind that thing that's going to just knock you down.
Yeah,
the fire was conveniently isolated to just a certain amount of height. It's like, it only can burn this high.
Also, I don't know why it was anywhere near the elevator shaft.
Yeah. And plus, if you've ever just even been to like any type of outside pyrotechnics, like at an amusement park, I mean, you can feel freaking flame.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Thrower from like, you I
was
know,
just, we were just a mile on the away, Las almost. Vegas Strip near the, what's the one with the pirate boat?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean. Oh, yeah. What's it called? In Vegas.
Not Pirates of the Caribbean. The TI, yes.
Yes.
Right. Pirates of TI.
There you go. They used to do the live shows out there, right? They don't do it anymore. But they used to do these live shows. They had like gunfire and big fire explosion stuff. And I remember when those were going on, you'd be out on the strip. You could be a block and a half away and you would feel that heat. Just
you'd still feel
you.
It. You and can that's, still, I mean, the volcano now and from Mirage is gone. But that was another one. You could be standing that far away and feel it every time.
And you're not even in a shaft that has concentrated forces that are pushing in one direction up.
Yeah.
But once again, park the brain, Brian. I said, shut up.
You have to not only park the brain, but like guard the brain and lock in the brain. Like
give it to the valet so they don't bring this back and join through.
Yeah. Walk for 3 blocks after the brain is parked somewhere. All that. I agree. All right. Well, there's your movie. Anyone else have any other notes that you're like, oh man, I got to make sure to mention this.
Oh my God.
Hollow Man. So
much. I had one more trope that just drove me crazy.
Lay it in.
But I don't hate it. It's just, it's the trope of your villain assaulting you. Oh, it was just a dream.
Yeah.
Because like it's always portrayed as so realistic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And plus then
they already
of
set
course,
us up with the Kim Dickens bit and it felt like that again. Yeah. So we were like,
and it was definitely another Ghostbusters moment. Cause that was totally a Ghostbusters scene where, you know, where Ray was getting his, his ghost action on.
Oh, I forgot about that scene. Holy shit. That's right. There is a scene in the montage after they start getting jobs, getting ghosts, and there's a scene where a ghost is like going down on Ray.
Getting
the ghost fellatio.
Yeah, I always forget that, and and then when I'm reminded, I remember how mortified my mother was in the theater.
It's like, what's going on? I'm watching this with my family.
Yeah,
why,
this is like
why you think of my eyes.
You think of Ghostbusters as this like you know kind of pure in a lot of ways, and it's like no, there's stuff in there. There's things.
This trope, by the way, is a good example of why not all tropes are bad, and using them is not bad because in Aliens. This exact trope, right, is Ripley having a nightmare that a chest burster's coming out of her, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she wakes up, it's great. It's very intense. It's
well tropes done. Are good. It's quick. It's short. It's shorthand for something that you need to quickly explain.
Yeah.
I mean, it can
be
good.
Be done badly, though, is the point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think some of those are kind of bad in this, but whatever. I didn't hate this. I kind of had an average time with it.
Yeah.
There's no one more scientific thing that I couldn't blow away. There's no way your sweaty, hot bacon butt could sit in a leather seat, invisible or not, and people not know when you get up.
Right.
That was,
when you don't have a layer of dockers between you and the seat, you're leaving a little shine.
Yeah. He got up. When he got up from that chair, they definitely would have said, well, there he is.
Yeah. Yep. I got so many questions about how that works, how the stupid
how'd you feel about the Superman Wonder Woman joke? I hope you play it.
No, I'm not playing
so
that
terrible.
Horrible joke.
It's so terrible.
It's so bad.
Invisible Man is not in DC lore.
Yeah.
and I remember it being funny when I was 12.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like for that joke appear in this movie, bad. Just bad.
immaturity is reflective of his immaturity. And so, yeah.
Yeah, he's 42 years old. And he's telling a 12-year-old's joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Look, if you're like me, all right, you want the best for your dog. Maybe you feed them kibble, recommended by a vet or a fresh food diet or whatever they might be recommending. But did you know that these are often low in protein, high in carbs, and are the leading cause of weight, mobility, dental, and skin conditions? Well, that's where Maeve comes in. Your dog is biologically primed to digest and absorb key nutrients from an unprocessed, low-carb, high-protein, raw meat diet. And Maeve's raw food diet is formulated to meet your dog's needs. My dogs, Ripley and Rainer, were both having issues with skin. Ripley was super itchy all the time, and Rainer was like breaking out in these weird patches of like dry, gray, almost like elephant skin on her head and her feet. We changed their food to raw Maeve food. Guess what? That problem went away in about 2.5 weeks. Kind of blew our minds. And we were really excited because our dogs are picky eaters and they have trouble with stuff like that. They also had hideous breath. Not the best, you know, potty moments. A few things like that. That's all improved with Maeve. And that might be my favorite thing about it. I just feel like it's a bit of a revelation. And I think everybody should try it. It doesn't matter what kind of dog you have. Give it a shot. Those reasons that I gave about my dogs, Ripley and Rainer, I mean them. And I love Maeve. And you can get $40 off your first order at meetmaeve.com. That's meetmaeve.com/filmsack. Oh, they're amazing. Dogs need unprocessed high protein food. Low carb diets that, you know, kibble and fresh foods don't deliver. And, you know, they support benefits you can smell, feel, and see, from better breath to reduced itching and shedding, to regular bowel movements and maintaining a healthy weight. Do you love your dog or not? Most dog parents see results in less than 28 days. We sure did. Plus, there's no mess, no prep, no thawing. Just open, pour, and serve. It's that easy. Make the switch to raw today. Right now, Maeve is offering that $40 off your first order at meetmaeve.com/filmsack. Go to meetmaeve.com/filmsack. That's spelled M-E-E-T-M-A-E-V to receive $40 off your first order. That's meetmaeve.com/filmsack. Well, let's get to some clips about this film. You know, they exist. They're here. We have them. Believe me or not, there are clips. Here's the clips. Let's start with these. Let's start with this one. This is Kevin Bacon saying, damn it.
Damn it.
And there he is saying it again.
Damn it.
All right, but that was the sexy damn it.
First time was because he couldn't get the computer model to work. Second time is because the lady closed her blinds before he got to see her boobies.
Yep.
Damn and it. I also said, damn it.
Damn it. Here's Thanos and the babysitter.
I'm tired of this sneaking around, Lynn. You're going to have to tell him eventually.
I will. Eventually. I'm just waiting for the right time.
No, Sebastian, there's never going to be a right time.
Oh, that's some foreshadowing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hello, Kim Dickens.
How can you morally justify injecting Isabel with the serum before you've even tested it?
Because it'll save time.
Such a dick.
Because it'll save time.
The whole, everything he said, even when he was in scientist mode, just a pecker.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want that guy coming to my small town and teaching us all how to dance. I don't want that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Greg Grunberg doing his thing.
Man, look how peaceful she is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty peaceful. Let's see. Oh, Bacon freaking out.
I'm not running a goddamn zoo, all right?
I think you are, actually.
Yeah,
it probably
actually,
smells
yeah.
like it in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what
it's
you call
entirely
it.
Entirely a zoo.
Yeah, a collection of various animals. I think it's a zoo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Here's the jokester at dinner trope where you don't even know the joke lead up. You just get the punchline and everyone laughs. I hate this in movies, but here it is.
And then there was a big explosion. And afterwards she said, well, if you're so smart, how come you're still in the second grade?
Hilarious.
You just watched Vegas Vacation, which has that the best version ever of this trope, which is the kid, what's his name?
Papa Giorgio.
The son.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I says to him, get your own monkey.
It's like, see that one. I like it when they're ridiculous. Didn't they do this in Breakfast Club where he's climbing through the ceiling?
No,
and
he tells, that's the reverse. He tells the first part of a joke and you never hear the punchline.
Oh,
of the joke
that's in, what it is. Breakfast right. Club. Right.
For whatever reason, I always think of, what, About Last Night, Jim Belushi, Rob Lowe, boy, Rob Lowe again, where he's telling the story about some woman he hooked up with who wanted him to yell boom at the top of his lungs every 30 seconds.
Remember that. That sounds so stupid.
He's on a subway recounting this story about this woman he was with the previous night, and he's like, and she wants me to yell boom at the top of my lungs every 30 seconds.
Oh, I don't think movies know how jokes work.
Nope. No. A lot of them don't. This one didn't, I can tell you that. Here's a cheese line.
You were great. I was just standing next to you.
Oh.
You were great.
Nice.
Okay, here's, what's this? Oh, something about knowing someone's different.
Ever since you walked into my classroom in your freshman year, I knew that you were different.
Oh, okay. But now I'm just going to be real honest about what a butthole you are.
18 to 40, so 24 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's old, dude. It's retro. here's Shu gasping. All right. That's a gasp. You hear that? Yeah, that's a good one. Here's I feel the same, but I'm not here.
I feel the same, but I'm not here.
Yeah, it's not there. don't be a dick.
Sebastian, don't be a dick.
Yeah, that's Thanos.
Sebastian, don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. But go ahead and have out. Anyway. let's see. Here's some science.
I lost cohesion again.
Yeah, we lost cohesion.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Happened every time.
95%. I love how they locked on it.
Oh, yeah. You didn't attach the right blue ball to the right yellow ball.
Right.
That'll happen every time.
Every time. Any scientist knows this. Look it up on your Nokia computer. here's another weird Elizabeth Shue noise.
Ow.
All right. Very, very odd. Let's see. Flicking. Oh, remember when he flicked the fly? This is the sound it made.
Oh, yeah.
Check it out.
Ooh.
I know, right? It's pretty good.
It's like he flicked a grape off of a wet tabletop.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. It was a little extreme. All right. I love this. This line is not even worth his time, but the way he says worth. So enjoy.
It's not even worth my time.
Whisper everything else but worth.
It's not even worth my time.
Who's our actor who does that constantly?
I don't know.
Kevin Bacon?
No. I don't know. Who is? Is there somebody who does that?
We've definitely brought it up on Film Sack before. Some actor who
I don't know.
Who whispers and then suddenly over. Is it Nick Cage?
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's a fair one.
It's kind of a hallmark of Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. You know what? I think that might be it. All right, here's, what is this? Here you go.
No, Virginio.
Oh, the no Virginio guy, the homeless guy Virginio. Outside.
Oh, yeah, cart-pushing guy. What does he say, though?
No, Virginio?
Let me play it again.
No, Virginio.
No, Virginio.
I don't know what that is. Is there?
I don't need you.
Anybody hear that? Like a song or something?
You need to improvise. Here you go, buddy.
Yep.
Improvise.
This is really weird. All right, final line.
Hello, face.
Yeah, we heard that earlier. Hello, face.
Hello, face. It's me again.
Yep, that's a line from the A-Team. They were talking to the face. All right. well done. Now we do this. Yes, that's right. It is time for us to do the Film Sack checklist. Make sure the first human test is a total perv. Check. Mm-hmm. That rubber latex mask smells like ass at this point. Check.
Ugh.
Thought about that a lot.
Ass a tone.
And then finally, wear the UV goggles this whole time, you dipshits. Check.
Yeah.
It's not really even a check. Yeah. Star Trek connections. I'm going to guess there's two today, Randy.
Oh, there's a bunch.
Oh, shit.
We have our Greg Grunberg mm-hmm. as Carter in this movie. He was in both the first and second J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies. We have J. Patrick McCormick, who was one of the generals, not William Devane, but like the next general over.
Yeah.
He was in Deep Space Nine, an episode of Deep Space Nine, an episode of Voyager. We have Jimmy Skaggs, who was the wino that you just heard singing whatever he was singing.
No Virginio.
Yep.
Yeah, he was in an episode of Deep Space Nine. Margot Rose was William Devane's wife, I think.
We saw her in the window movie? For a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she was in an episode of The Next Generation, episode of Deep Space Nine, different characters. And then we finally, I just have to include this, Tom Woodruff Jr., who was a special effects makeup artist on Star Trek III, The Search for Spock.
Oh.
Special effects makeup artist, wow. Tom Woodruff Jr., was cast in this movie as Isabel the Gorilla.
Oh.
Oh, nice.
Body double business there.
That's great. Yeah.
That's cool.
Did he have to eat that rat then? Is that?
Yeah, hell yeah. That was real, bro. Dunaway. Totally real.
No, good.
Totally real.
Yeah, not fake.
And he was also the subject of the worst line in the movie, for my money, which is when the Bacon says to Brolin, $10 says I nail her first.
Yes, they kept referring to who's first. That was such a they mentioned several times.
Lame. Hate that. Lame. Yeah, I don't like it. All right. Well, time for the soundtrack rated. Give it a MOACE for music of a certain era. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. It gets the job done. It's a little too intense for its own good, but whatever. It's in there. Let's get to the Twitter post. This is the social media post of characters that comprise about 280 characters each. And you guys sum the film up in that way. Let's start this week with Randy.
I want you to know in advance, mine is 350.
Okay, oh, excellent.
Good. Do it.
I didn't remember that I have a limit.
No, okay. You're on Mastodon. It's all good.
Go Hollow Man, working in a secret lab, getting naked on the clock. G-Men picking up the tab while you torture the livestock. Science turns a man insane, makes him big libido act, has to kill the good Devane, then everyone else, in fact. Fighting invisible ape, can't be seen, but bet he smells. One last kiss for old time's sake. Then she says, you go to hell.
Oh, that's nice. Good.
See, wow. That's now really we good. Need Randy's Twitter book of poetry to add to
that's right.
Ibbot's it'd be the album it'd be a of combo. Music.
You'd buy the two together. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Just buy Twitter Blue and you can do 10,000 characters next time.
Oh.
Oh,
no. Ridiculous. Let's go to Brian Dunaway.
Oh, Twitter. Hollow Man. Did you ever hear the one about Superman or Wonder Woman? I didn't think it hurt so much. Hashtag women can sleep through anything. Thanks, Ibbot.
Wow. Not sure why you're thinking of it, but I like it. Whatever.
I think it is, so they don't get to come back on me because he said it. Because
I said it. Oh, right. Man. Women can sleep through anything.
That's a good point. All right. Finally, speaking of which, Brian Ibbot.
Hollow Man, for a movie starring Kevin Bacon, I sure am seeing a lot of sausage.
Oh. He's a hollow back man. Yeah.
Oh, you won't. I haven't had breakfast. You're making me hungry. Even though it's even though the context is gross, I'm kind of starving.
Yeah, in the mood for some meat lover's eggs.
Hell
meat
yeah. Oh, that sounds so good right now. All right. Well, well done, both of you, all of you, all three of you. Here is the alternative titles. Alternative titles. This was almost called Grunberg's Porn Stash, but they thought that was a little too specific.
Okay.
They finally went with, they finally went with Hollow Man, but it was almost Adventures in Bacon Sitting.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Let's get
now
to.
Now we need another book.
That's right. Let's get the emails and texts. We got one here at filmsack@gmail.com from Richard, who says the following. Hey there, Randy, Scott, Brian, and Brian. He reversed it all. After listening to Blood Simple, our episode on that, another similar type film popped into my head that I've heard no one talk about. It's called U-Turn from 1997. Oh. Seems like a perfect film sack movie. It's got a stellar cast. Check it out. Love the show. Richard, I've never seen U-Turn. And by the way, it's spelled U-T-U-R-N. There's also something in 2023.
Spelled Y-O-U-Turn? Is that what you just said?
No, just with a U.
That the letter U.
Just U-Turn.
Yeah, just U-Turn. Space.
Problem is there's a ton of these.
There are. The one you said 19... that is Sean Penn and Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
97.
Oliver Stone film? Is
Nick
that right?
Nolte? Yeah. By Billy Bob Thornton? Holy shit. John
Writer
Boyd.
John Ridley. Director Oliver Stone. Yeah.
Powers Booth? Let's do this. Let's go. What's this about?
Let's go. What are you talking about?
A man heading to Vegas, and we always like that, to pay off his gambling debt before the Russian mafia kills him, is forced to stop in an Arizona town where everything can go wrong does go wrong.
It is on our watch list, and it is famous for never being available for free.
Oh, interesting.
that's its claim to fame.
Yep, claim to fame.
You're not going
to
see it.
A lot of Oliver Stone movies are like that for some reason.
Well, that's wrong.
Like, you can watch JFK and Wall Street right now on streaming services, but like all the other Oliver Stone movies or
I am a massive Nick Nolte old guy fan. Love him at this stage of his life. I'll watch anything he does. Even 97, he's pretty old.
Yeah. Oh, Born on the 4th of July is on Netflix.
A long movie.
That's a bummer.
It is.
That's a bummer.
That's a real bummer.
Feels like it ends on the 5th of July.
Yeah.
No, hilarious.
I don't think I can do that one.
You guys remember when Lucas was all like, I'm not putting Star Wars on DVD? You guys remember him being all bitchy about that?
No.
Home video was verboten. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I don't remember this.
I don't remember that.
No, not at all. Did he really do that? George Lucas, you're talking about. Right?
Yeah. The one that we, you know, the Star Wars guy, that guy.
You just said, she said Lucas. I just want to make sure because that sounds insane. Yeah. Why would he? He loved everything digital. Why would he not want to do that?
He did, but I think there was something going on that he didn't care for. I was trying to remember what it was, but I do remember for a long time we couldn't get a Star Wars DVDs. And I was like, what the hell?
Maybe it was the
extras. I held on to my videotapes forever because of that.
I don't like the extras. There's too many extras on here.
That's what he said. Here's a text or two from some listeners, 801-471-0462. Here's one from Brian from Texas. He says, a little bit late, but I finally got around to listening to an episode of Film Sack. I wound up with a DVD copy of Cocaine Bear. And there were a couple of things in the extras that I wanted to bring up. One, the cast and crew affectionately referred to the bear as Cokie the Bear. That's kind of cute. That's
cute. Nice.
So second, there's an alternative ending in which Liz, the park ranger, kisses the bloodstained ID of Peter, dons a bandolier of shotgun shells, and sets out on a quest for revenge. And finally, Elizabeth Banks said that she wanted Cokie to be in the wild, to be a wild animal with a drug problem rather than a villain, which is why several of the deaths are due to the actions of the humans rather than the bear.
I thought all of it was because of the humans. I thought it was all because of human stupidity, was it not?
I mean, in the end of the day, kind of, because cocaine getting out of the plane and getting to a bear is like a...
You trace it all the way back to the source.
Yeah.
There's the stupidity right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big dummy.
But a bunch of people aren't even in that park, if not for some kids having it, you know, accidentally going.
Right. Good point. Final message here from Burninate, who says, I watch Blood Simple. Immediately at the start of the film, there was something that distracted me from the dialogue. They are driving in the rain with the windshield wipers going, but as the driver's side or on the driver's side, when they swished down, it kept stopping at around 2/3 of the windshield. What was that thing? I couldn't stop staring at it and nearly missed the whole opening. World's worst ineffective wipers, says.
I'm trying to remember which car was that, because some cars do that. Some cars, because of the way the wipers are arranged, they only go down.
Sports cars, a lot of sports cars have to do that, right? Because they have a narrower windshield or something. I guess it had to be the Francis McDormand and dude were getting hot and heavy in, right?
My observation about that scene was that there was someone had created this rig to just pour water on that windscreen. Like they were just like they were in the heaviest rain that ever rained.
Yeah, they were there was a national emergency of rain and they were having a conversation in it. Anyway, Burninate and Brian from Texas, thank you for your messages. 801-471-0462.
I can't help myself. I always just want to bring up the most recent thing that we sacked and say like how it whether or not it stuck with me. And Blood Simple really stuck with me. Like I have thought about that movie every day since we did it.
Wow. Oh wow. Yeah, Blood Simple's it's a kind of a rad movie. I like it. Even though
out of my head as soon as we were done talking about it on film. So.
Thank God that's behind me.
Yeah. Oh. Well, and you know what it is, Brian? It's the fact that it was their first movie, and that like it's impressive that their very first time that they made a movie so good.
Oh, sorry.
Do I guys hear that?
Did you accidentally touch an invisible Kevin Bacon and he zapped you with his electricity?
I was removing this, so I have an end dust for electronics multi-purpose deduster thing with the little hose on it, the compressor.
And
I went to grab it, but this trigger is so hair trigger. It just went. Oh yeah, I'm barely touching it. It goes. Oh shit! I don't think it's supposed to be like that.
I did it again.
All right,
I did the thing, and then I did the thing.
I just was moving
You ever worry that someone you're podcasting with is going to have a major accident
all the time? Every day.
My worst fear is that one of you or me or someone's going to like have a major cardiac event or something.
Right. There. And all of a sudden I hear is...
Yeah. And a live stream to boot. It'd be the worst freaking thing.
My money's on me.
Yeah, you think so?
My money's
I don't know. I don't know. I'm feeling pretty confident.
Enough, it will happen.
I'm feeling pretty confident. Anyway, there you have it. We would like to thank some patrons for joining us this week. We've had some new folks saddle up to the old film sack trough and take advantage of their Patreon. Patreon.com/filmsack now joins people like Alex Myswell Sackett. I love it. Is he saying may as well sack it, kind of?
May as well sack it.
Anyway, John G. and Bill Carvalho. They have all joined us here at FilmSack. If you want to do that, you should, because you'll never get commercials. You'll get pre-show content every week. Dunaway just put up a monthly host May show that was awesome. Nicely done.
So much fun.
Talking
so much
about fun. D&D and all the D&D content we're getting these days in movie form. And you'll get that from each of us every month. So check that out. Well, not each of us every month. One of us does it each month is what I meant to say. Also, you get movie-related art prints from me in the mail and other great benefits. Ah. You just have to go and sign up at patreon.com/filmsack. Our next movie's going to be, I don't know, I have a question mark here. What is it?
We're going to watch Patriot Games as the, I'm sorry, no, but that's our second movie. We're going to watch Mission Impossible 3 as the beginning of our hot action movie summer, and then Patriot Games after that. We're going to, we got Mission Impossible 3 streaming over on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
And I can't believe we have never watched this yet for hot action movie summer.
I can't either. I know we've done one and two. I swore we did three. We haven't. Three's the John Woo movie. Like, three needs to be seen. He's got long, Tom Cruise has long, cool hair. He climbs mountains. There's doves, slow motion doves in it. It's awesome.
Do they cry?
Yeah, no, they didn't do that.
Now in our lives.
I gotcha.
Every spring I find myself like listening, how long is a hot action movie summer going to be? Okay, we need to find 15 hot action movies. This is going to be hard. And then as the time goes by and I start really digging into what's streaming and what we haven't seen, I get too many. There's too many.
Too many.
Like, there are so many hot action movies that we have never sacked before.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this.
I'm excited when the movies we've had to move out of the way because they stopped streaming, like Bourne Ultimatum and Village of the Damned, come back around because Fletcher pre-recorded those two for me and they're just waiting. So that'll be good.
Eventually we'll get to use it.
Yeah. Until then, who knows? But there you go. That'll be next week. Check out Mission Impossible 3 for hot action movie summer here at FilmSack.
Looks like it's also on Showtime, by the way.
Oh, nice. I have Showtime. I'll do that. FilmSack.com is our website. Patreon.com/FilmSack, once again, is the place to go. FilmSack@gmail.com, 801-471-0462 to leave your voicemails and your texts. And that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for watching and listening. You're not watching, you're listening. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
You're not God, I am.
We'll see you next time.
Sebastian, don't be a dick.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.